Sing it to Him now.
Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. It tells me of a Savior's love to die.
This morning. Amen. Do you love Him? Hallelujah. I just love to give Him praise. Hope that you'll join me. We just want to make His presence welcome here. And if you're joining by way of the internet, we just hope that you'll create an atmosphere that God is pleased. I believe He can reach out and touch you, friend, wherever you may be. Amen. Let's sing that song, I Have Found the Way.
I have found the way. Yonder in the glory land, and the road is bright, for Jesus is the light, and I hold His guiding hand. I have found the way, I have found the way. I have never fear while Jesus is so near. I will bravely meet the foe. Happy songs I'll sing in honor of the King, and to glory onward go. I have found the way. Yes, I have found the way. Oh, glory, hallelujah. I have found the way to the journey's end, led by a faithful friend, never more in sin. By the way called straight, I'll reach the golden gate of the soul's eternal home. Oh, that makes me happy now. Yes, I have found the way. I have found the way. Oh, glory, hallelujah. Verse. I have found the way that leads to endless day, yonder in the glory land. And the road is bright, for Jesus is the light, and I hold His guiding hand. Oh, I have found the way. Yes, I have found the way. Oh, glory, hallelujah. Yes, I have found the way. Again now. Oh, I have found the way. I have found the way. Hallelujah. Yes, I have found the way. Amen. Why don't you give Him some praise this morning? Hallelujah. Praise You, Lord Jesus. Amen. What can wash away nothing but the blood of Jesus? Amen. Wash away my sin, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? There we go. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this I see. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Precious is the blood that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can put sin atone. Nothing but the blood. Not of good that I have done, it's nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the blood that makes me
Sing another song, just a little while to stay here.
Just a little while to stay here. Just a little while to wait. Just a little while to labor in the path that's always straight. Just a little more of trouble in this low and simple state, then we'll enter heaven's portal, sweeping through the pearly gate. Soon this life will all be over, and our heavenly journey, be at home again with breath. Oh, heaven's gates are standing open, waiting for our entrance there. Some sweet day we're going over all the beauties there to share. Just a little while to stay, just a little while to wait, just a little while to labor in the path that's always straight, just a little more of trouble in this low and simple. Then we'll enter heaven's portal, sweeping through the pearly gate. Soon we'll see the light of morning, then the new begin. Soon we'll hear the Father calling, come my children, enter in. Happy day. Then we'll hear a chorus of angels singing out the victory song. Hallelujah. And our troubles will be over, and we'll live with heaven strong. Just a little while to just a little while to wait, just a little while to labor in the path that's always great, just a little more of trouble in this low and simple state. Then we'll enter heaven.
praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's sing one more before we change the order of the service. Keep on the fire in line. Amen.
If you're in the battle for the Lord and right, keep on the fire in line. If you've been my brother, surely you must fight. Keep on the fire in line. There are many dangers that we all must face. If we die of fighting, it is no disgrace. Cowards in the service, he will find no place. So keep on the fire in line. But he must fight. All evil, never run or even lag behind. If you went for God in the right, just keep on that fire in line. See, now God will only use a soldier he can trust. Keep on the fire in line. Keep on the fire in line. Life is but the labor for the master here. Help to banish evil and to spread good cheer. Good you'll be rewarded for your service here. So keep on the fire in line. Sing it now. Well, you must fight. Against all evil, never run or even lag behind. If you wait for God in the right, just keep on the fire in line. Listen now. When we get to heaven, brother, you'll be glad. Keep on the fire in line. Oh, how we'll praise the Savior for the call we had. Just keep on that fire in line. When we see the souls that we have helped to win, leading them to Jesus from the paths of sin. Oh, with a shout of welcome, we will all march in. Just keep on the fire in line. You must fight, be brave against all evil. Never run or even lag behind. If you would wait for God in the right, just keep on the fire in line. Well, you must fight, be brave against all evil. Never run. Lag behind. If you would wait for, just keep on the fire in line.
Praise you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we worship you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Just keep on that fire in line, brother, sister. We'll get there one day. Amen. He's coming. Hallelujah. We just want to be faithful to the end. Amen. Musicians can play something softly there. I'm going to let you have your seats for just a few minutes. Give your legs a rest. We have several special needs that we want to be praying about. I'll go over these for you. I have a need here. It says, please remember my neighbor. She's in the hospital with gallstones, and that's from Brother Roger. Let's remember this special need in prayer. I know that's a very, very painful ordeal to have to go through. So let's remember her in prayer. I want to remember Sister Cindy in prayer. She's not feeling well. And I want to remember also Brother Bill. He's having surgery on Tuesday. So let's remember Brother Bill in prayer for these special needs. And remember Sister Cindy as well. Amen. I have a special need here for... This is from Sister Jessie. Says, say a prayer for my family in Nebraska. Because of the melting snow, they're experiencing flooding everywhere. And so let's remember that family in prayer. God would protect them and their properties in the path of that flood. Amen. I have a request for Brother Roger Clayville. He is at home and he is not feeling well. So let's remember him in prayer. Amen. God would touch his body. I want to remember Hans Florian. I believe he is teething. And I'm not sure if they're here. Yeah, they're here. So let's remember them in prayer. Remember the baby. I believe he's having a fever there because of the teething. Let's remember that. I want to remember Brother Matt Cross. I believe he's away traveling. We also have a request here. It says, please pray for Cody. Can't pronounce the last name. Their month-old baby is having seizures, and the doctors do not know why this is happening. That's from Brother Ernie Bilton. And so let's, this is a co-worker of his, so let's remember this little baby in prayer. It's having seizures, amen. I believe God can touch that special need, amen. And I'd like to ask Brother David Whitlock if he would be prepared to take these before the Lord. Let's all stand. Are there any unspoken prayer requests by uplifting of hands? Amen. God knows your needs. Just hold those on your heart. Come now, Brother David.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Gracious Father, Lord, we just thank you so much, Father, that we can come here this morning. That we can see the sunshine and we can just be here, Lord, and just fellowship around your word. Lord, Father God, you've heard many requests here this morning, Lord. Several not even really associated with this fellowship, just friends and family members outside, Lord, that have come and have asked for requests, Lord, Father, because they know that you are special and you touch everywhere. Lord, Father, we do lift up this little baby, Lord, Father, that you would just touch it, Lord. Be with those affected by weather. Lord, Father, those traveling, those facing surgeries, like Brother Bill. Oh, dear Lord, Father, those are just sick, Lord, Father, and just not able to be here this morning, Lord, Father, but have that desire, Lord. We ask that you would just give them all a special healing touch. Father God, Lord, as we go into the service this morning, Lord, Father, we ask that you would just speak to hearts, Lord. Just open hearts, open minds, Lord, Father God, and you would change lives, Father. As we go back out this building this morning, Lord, Father, we would be different. We'd be just more of on fire, Lord, to serve you. Lord, we just love you. Lord, we just praise you, Lord, Father God. And once again, Lord, Father, we just look forward to what you're going to do here this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother David. Let's sing that song, Shout to the Lord. I believe it's in the same key there.
My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days, I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I have, ever cease to worship you. Bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. Thou sing, O Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength. Oh, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Sing with me now. Oh, shout to power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roll at the sound of your name. I'll sing for joy at the work of your hand. River, I'll river, I stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have. It shout to the Lord, all the earth let us sing. Power and majesty, oh yes, praise to the King. Mountains bow down, at the sound of your name. Yes, I'll sing. Promise I have in you.
Why don't we just give him a little more praise? Oh, I love you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Amen. I believe Brother Keith has a special for us this morning. If he could be making his way, you can have your seats. Amen. Appreciate the talent we have in the church, and I appreciate Brother Keith always being willing to fill in for us there with a special. Amen.
I want to ask you a question that gets asked all the time, but don't give a generic response. Do you love the Lord? Amen. Do you know where your joy lies? If your joy lies in monetary, physical things, you need to check your experience. My joy is in the salvation. I can remember Brother Henry Green years ago singing this old song, and I know he's singing it even more now. Born again, free from sin. Put a little joy in your heart if you know it, help me. Oh, I've been born again. I'm free from sin. I'm happy night and day. Oh, it makes me shout, and there's no doubt I know that I've been born again. Oh, Satan tells me that I only thought I got saved. He tells me what a fool I have been. Oh, but then my mind goes back to that old place where I pray, and I know that I've been born again. Oh, I've been born again. I'm free from sin. I'm happy night and day. Oh, it makes me shout, oh, there's
many times along this way my faith has grown weak when burdens seem to rise on every hand. Oh, but then I steal away in prayer. He answers my pleas, my every need He understands. Oh, I've been born again. I'm free from sin. I'm happy night and day. Yes, it makes me shout, 'cause there's no doubt I know that I've been born again. Oh, sing it now. Oh, I've been born again. I'm free from sin. I'm happy night and day. Makes me shout, 'cause there's no doubt I know that I've been born again. Yes, it makes me shout, 'cause there's no doubt I know that I've been born again.
Amen. Amen. Appreciate that special, Brother Keith. Amen. Let's all stand. We're going to take up our morning offering. I'd like to sing that song, "This Is My Desire." As the pastor comes forward. And Brother Mike, would you lead us in prayer this morning? This is my desire to wander.
Praise the Lord. We're going to sing one more song this morning. We want to welcome all of you to the house of the Lord today. Good to be in God's house. Good to have the Kirchers with us today. God bless you. Good to have the males back. Good to have the Pascals back. And good to have Sister Sherry and Sister Rosie back. God bless you. We appreciate you coming today on this St. Patrick's Day. And we just trust that the Lord will speak to your heart today. I trust He'll be a blessing to you today.
Jesus, your name is power. Jesus, your name is mine. Jesus, your name will break every stronghold. Jesus, your name is life. Jesus, your name is healing. Jesus, your name.
Jesus, I commit the people and this day into your hands, Lord. Come, move among us, I pray. Lord, may you look at us first through the blood of Jesus Christ. And Lord, just extend that mercy and forgiveness to us. Not that we deserve it, Lord, but because you have called us and you have chosen us. And Lord, I ask that you would just have free course among us, that you may be able to move and to speak to every heart. Lord, you might be able to move among us and deal with us according to your mercies. Lord, you'd be the healer among us today. You'd be the counselor. You'd be the one, Lord, who dissolves all doubts and fears. I commit the people and their needs into your hands now today. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. And amen. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Let's take your Bible, if you don't mind, and let's go to the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus. We're going to go to chapter 15. We're going to jump right in this morning and just begin with the word in Exodus chapter 15 and just diverting again today. I don't know where that is and what's happening. So it's there, if you don't mind. In in Exodus chapter 15. Let's just read a very familiar passage about the place called Marah in the Old Testament here in the journey of the children of Israel. Now this is the second encampment of the children of Israel. So we're not long into the journey. This is very close near the time of deliverance. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. Now, how many remember and how many know that the children of Israel at this particular point in time were in the perfect will of God? Right? They were being led by God. This was the scenario that they had where there was a prophet, there was a pillar of fire, there was a cloud. They were being led by God, but they came to bitter waters. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, What shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. And there he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all of his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have put upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. I'd like to say a special welcome this morning to Sister April. God bless you. Good to have you today. And the lady who's sitting beside you, Sister Carol Henley. God bless you, Sister Carol. Good to have you back. We have missed you, and it is wonderful to have you back this morning. Let's just jump right in. I was at a banquet last night, a marriage banquet that was held up in Brother Sean Martin's group up there, and Brother Josh Bennett was speaking, and he reminded me of a little story that I want to tell you this morning just as we begin. That's a little unrelated to our topic. And that is, Brother Branham tells a story about Paul Rader and how that he every morning had kind of a ritual where he left the house. And when he left, had his breakfast and went out, he kissed his wife and at the door, and she stood at the door and waved to him as he went down the walkway. He stopped kind of halfway down the walkway and turned and waved back to her, and she waved to him. And you know, it was the ritual that they went through in parting ways. And he went on his way to work. And one morning they had a tiff. They had a disagreement, and they were not feeling quite the same towards one another as they normally would. And hey, occasionally that happens. And so they went through the ritual, because it was a ritual and rituals are powerful. And he gave her a little kiss as he was going through the door and stepped out and got on the walkway, turned around, waved. And she waved to him, threw up her hand and waved. And he went on his way to work. And she just kind of closed the door and stood behind the door and began to cry, because, you know, she thought, oh, this feels so bad. This is just not the way it should feel. And he went off down the street, and he was, you know, thinking about all this. And he said, what if I never saw her again? What if I never had a chance to talk to her again? And what if something happened to her today and I never got a chance to say that I really loved her? Or what if something happened to me and I never had a chance to really love her and really show my appreciation? What would that be? That would be a terrible thing to have to live the rest of your life through that. So he came back, and they turned around. He turned around on the street where he's going down and came back and opened up the door and found her behind the door. And here she was crying softly, and she was a little surprised to see him. But he took her in his arms and embraced her and said he was sorry and gave her a kiss by the threshold of the door, and walked down the pathway and turned around and waved, and she waved back at him like that, He went off to work. Brother Branham says, now what was the difference? He said they did the same things to one another both times. They did the same things. They did the kiss and the wave and all that. They did exactly the same motions. But the second time had feeling in it. Now the reason I say that is this. That's it. The reason I say that is this. That in coming to church, it isn't just a going through the motions. And it should never be just that. We should have feeling in it. So for the next hour or so, I want you to just put your feet under the table and put your heart into it. Because I'm just trying to be as faithful as I possibly can today to what the Lord dealt with me about all through this week. And I couldn't vary from it at all. So we're going to title this morning, The Healer. Let's look at, just very quickly here, we have a couple of birthdays that we want to announce. Sister Greg's birthday is not March 17th. Oh, I'm sorry. Sister Greg, good to have you with us today. God bless you. Samuel Brown's birthday, March 17th. Where's Samuel today? There he is. How old is Samuel? 4 years old. God bless you, Samuel. Same day as my granddaughter, Sophia. 4 years old. March 19th, Sister Haley Johnson. Sister Haley, we appreciate you. God bless you and have a wonderful, wonderful day. March is Pastors' Wives Appreciation Month for all the pastors' wives here. Just saying. I want to say this. I appreciate Sister Becky and her dedication and her loyalty and faithfulness, and we just appreciate her very much. God bless you, Sister Becky. Let me jump right in. Brother Branham says in One in a Million in 1965, he said, divine healing is a great drawing card to get people to look to the Lord Jesus. Now, think for a minute of when this is, 1965, the end of Brother Branham's ministry, and he's been through an awful lot of experiences here in relation to divine healing. He's come through the first pull, the second pull, and now he's at the end of his ministry. He's got another 8 months or so left in the world, and he's learned a lot. He learned a lot about healing. Learned a lot about people and how Satan works and how God works and how God delivers and many things that he's learned over the years. And so he's recognizing some principles and things here that he brings to us that I hope to share with you today that are good for us to learn from. And he said, divine healing is a great drawing card. It is something that gets the attention of people. And he said, Brother Bosworth used to say, divine healing is the bait on the fish hook. He said, you show the fish hook, you show him the bait, and after he gets the bait, he gets on the hook. We never show somebody just the bare hook, but divine healing is the kind of thing that gets people's attention. And it always does. It still does. The supernatural gets people's attention, even if they're not believers. Our aim, he said, is to get people to the Lord Jesus Christ. So if he was the healer in days gone by, he is the healer today. How many believe that? And privately within your heart, how many of you today, and you don't need to raise your hands here today, how many of you, if you had a chance to stand before the Lord Jesus himself, if he was here in a human body, how many of you would want him to lay his hand on you and allow his healing virtue to flow to you? You don't need to raise your hand. And you know, very often, as I've said to you before, we often think of God as the healer in terms of one who deals with physical issues and physical diseases. And certainly he's able to do that. But I'm here today to hopefully broaden your perspective a little bit and let you realize and let you believe this morning that God is able to heal whatever it is that hinders you, whatever it is that binds you, whatever it is that holds you back. Our God is able to heal you from that. He is still Jehovah Rapha today, the God who is our healer. Now, Brother Branham said, now don't feel suspicious. He said, it grieves the Holy Spirit. And that's the reason that things are not happening the way they should. Here's Brother Branham in meetings, and very often as you've heard and listened to these kinds of early sermons, Brother Branham would often teach the people how divine healing actually works. And that the fact that divine healing still exists in the world today, because God is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is present, and he's able to do whatever he was able to do. How many can say amen? Brother Branham spent a lot of time teaching that. He spent a lot of time encouraging the people to not look at the supernatural skeptically and feel suspicious or to think, well, he's mind reading or something else. He said that grieves the Holy Spirit. Not that we always understand everything that God does, but when we sit there with an attitude that, we're questioning this or debating this, he said that grieves the Holy Spirit. And that's the reason that things don't happen the way that they should. Now, I believe, saints of God, this morning, I'm simple enough to believe that we as a believing community, we should be constantly facing and believing forward with the promises of God. In other words, if God's promises are ours, and God's promises are real and they work, we should not be afraid to apply them and to believe and to go on forward trusting God for whatever it is that we petition him for. I believe that God's still able to do that. He said, now I don't see these wheelchairs and things sitting here. He says, I don't want to see these wheelchairs and things sitting there. It grieves my heart. But I can't do nothing about it. I'm only a servant. And I can just bring his word and do what he tells me to do. Brother Branham was not the healer. He said, I'm only a servant, and I can just bring his word and do what he tells me to do. And I'm sure it's not his will for this to be. It would be his will for all to be well. How many would agree with that? And the Bible said, I would above all things that you prosper in health and be in health. He wants you to have health. How many believe that? God wants you to have health. God wants you to be strong. When God created man and woman in the Garden of Eden, He didn't create them with maladies at all. He created them in perfect health. And it was only when sin came into the picture, that's when everything began to change. And I believe until we leave here, I believe we're going to experience a measure of brokenness in our bodies, because we live in a fallen world and in aging bodies. And no matter how hard we pray, we're still going to have our name put up on the board once a year and acknowledge that it's your birthday. Right? So we're all going to age. But I know this, and in speaking with medical people that are here, and with all due respect to the medical people here, we appreciate you being here and tolerating me, and I'm not trying to be a medical person this morning, not at all. I want to stay within my boundaries for sure. But when a person goes to medical school and they begin to study the art and the practice of medicine, one of the first things that is thrown at them is anatomy and physiology. That's what they learn. They learn about the proper working of a human body. They learn to identify what's normal and right. Then they move on to the second phase, and I'm speaking just this is my summary here, and in my own way. They move on to the pathophysiology of the human body. In other words, what diseases actually look like, and then what is abnormal and what's unusual and what's not supposed to be there. They begin to identify and learn, what's serious and what's not. And then they learn the art of practicing medicine and how to deal with those things that are wrong with the human body. But they start with the original. They start with the right. And then they begin to learn, the difference between the right and how that sickness affects a human body, right? So that's how a medical student would proceed roughly through medical school. Now, let me just tell you something. In the beginning in the Garden of Eden, when God started with man and woman, He started them whole and healthy. And God is a restorer of our health. He is a restorer of things that are broken. And His desire is to bring us back to that place always. That's what divine healing is about, is to bring us back to that place of wholeness and healing again. Because that's where He started from. And that's who He is. Now, let me give you a couple of principles to start with here. And let me just preamble a few things. And I want to, divine healing is obviously a big topic. We've talked about it before. It's nice to revisit it every now and then, because I know we, as human beings, we go through different phases of life, and there are different things that happen to us. And then there are also seasons of recovery, which are long. And Satan very often will jump on a person's shoulder in the time of recovery as well as the time of sickness. And so let's just deal with a little bit of this today. Principle number one, that salvation of the soul is much greater than divine healing. Divine healing is of God, but it is bait on the hook, like Brother Branham said. But salvation of the soul is much greater than divine healing. Brother Branham says divine healing was included in the new atonement. The old atonement had healing in it, but in the new ones are much better. He said divine healing is not on the same basis as salvation. And when you're born again, you get an immortal spirit that cannot die. But when you're healed by divine healing, you will get sick and die again. And he talks about Lazarus and so forth and how he had to die later in life. But it's the attribute of his resurrection, and it's the earnest of our resurrection to experience divine healing. How many believe that? And so it's not on the same basis here, because it is not an eternal thing. But one day we will receive a new body on the other side, and that body will not experience diseases and sicknesses over there. But let me tell you something. When a person is truly born again, that's forever. That's for real. And that doesn't end. That does not fade away. I'm glad for that. I don't know about you, but I'm glad for that. And so salvation is the most important thing. And like Brother Branham said, getting people to Christ, he said that's the most important thing. Not getting them to church, but getting them to Christ. But divine healing is what God provides for us along the journey, because every one of us go through things in life, some from an early age and some as we grow into it over time. The second principle is found in our text here. And if you don't mind, if you got your Bible open, I'd like you to look at these verses here with me. Again, and in particular this verse 26 here. And the children of Israel, coming out of Egypt here, they find themselves in this place called Marah, which is bitter water. And, you know, here they are in the will of God, but experiencing bitterness. And they're experiencing difficulty and trouble. Is it possible that somebody who's in the perfect will of God can experience difficulty and trouble? Sure it is. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. So let me just say this very quickly here, that in verse 26, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. You can wrongly assume that if you're a Christian and you follow Christian principles and biblical principles, that you won't have any trouble in life from this verse. There are a lot of people that feel like, if I am a good Christian and I go to church and I pay my tithes regularly and I refrain from putting tattoos on my body and live a clean life, then I'm not going to have any trouble. I'm not going to have anything like, diseases or early death. None of that's ever going to afflict me because God said he'd protect me from that. That's not what he said at all. So I began to look at this verse and began to think about it. And then I found a little passage, a trusted passage, where I could look at this through the eyes of a Jewish writer and how the Jewish people would look at this, because this is in, the founding journey of the children of Israel in the book of Exodus here. And the Jews do not believe at all that they are immune from trouble and immune from difficulty at all because of this verse. Rather, they are assured that God would not visit them with the same plagues that he visited Egypt with if they follow his commandments. So that is true. God said that if you will hearken unto my word and do which is right in my sight, then I will not visit you with these plagues that I visited Egypt with. And that is a promise that God made to Egypt. But let me just say that it is important for us to understand that there are some people who would, like I say, wrongly believe that, there is no trouble that comes our way because we are believers and somehow or another we are immune from the troubles that exist in the real world. But I'd like to say that this is obviously not true, because we have people in here, in this assembly, people who are believers who suffer sickness, who have left this world. Who have left this world because of accidents or trouble. And there are people who are absolutely non-God-fearing and non-Christian who live a long and healthy life. And sometimes that's a little bit beyond our understanding. There is absolutely no way that you can correlate the two. That if we say that if I'm a Christian and I'm exempt from any kind of trouble or any kind of problem or any kind of abuse or any kind of a negative thing that would come into my life, we have a lot of you that would stand up and say, I'd like to argue that point. Because many are the afflictions of the righteous. The second thing I'd like to say about that is this, that if God actually did protect righteous people from all illness, why wouldn't any rational person on the earth not be righteous? I mean, that's a healthcare decision, isn't it? If following God prevents cancer, then why not follow God? That's a healthcare decision. It is obviously not true that this is a situation that's apart from faith. The moment we say that if I can follow God's commandments and nothing bad will happen to me, then that's not a question of faith anymore. That's just a question of reading what the rules state and following them and trying to stay within the rules. And that's not how it works at all. The third thing I'd like to say is that there is an attitude that can creep in when people begin to adopt thinking that way, which is very unsympathetic and very judgmental, that says, all right, if a person who is a believer, professes to be a believer, but gets sick, and obviously they must have sin in their life. Right? Because if God protects everybody from sin, sickness and early death, and all of a sudden now we have somebody who's sick, then The response is, well, hey, they must have sin in their life. And that's not always true as well. Because there are some things that happen to us that have no connection with unbelief at all. And so therefore, it's a dangerous thing for us to assume that, taking a verse like this will mean that we have immunity from problems in this life altogether. And Brother Branham never taught that. Brother Branham was very careful not to teach that. In 1955, again, Brother Branham says, and the same thing is when you have got sick, it's no sign you're immune from sickness. But in every time, God is willing to deliver you from that sickness. There's a big difference here, right? Being a Christian means there's no sign that you're immune from sickness, but in every time, God is willing to deliver you from that sickness. How many believe that? And every time that you get sick and you go to God and ask Him, He's willing, then He's willing to deliver you because there is an atonement, and it's based upon your faith in that atonement, which is your redemption. So many things happen to people in this life, but I believe that God's a healer, and I believe that the gift of healing operates on the basis of faith. Second-handed rope. Brother Branham said again, what we need, brother, is to take courage. And what we need is to be encouraged. And it's right. He said, trials may come. We never was promised to be immune from them. But He will give grace to go through them. And if the mountain's too high to go over and too deep to go under and too wide to go around it, He will give us grace to go through it. Just don't worry, but keep your eyes on Christ. He's the only one that can take us through. I believe that's true. Just don't worry, but keep your eyes on Christ, for He's the only one that can take us through. One thing is for sure, that God brought us here. He established us here. He knows our path, and He knows where we've come from. He knows our state today, and He knows exactly where we're going to be a week from now, and a year from now, and a kingdom from now. He's in control, and the best thing to do is not to worry, but just place your cares in His hands and trust that He's the one that's going to take us through. Now, in speaking of divine healing, Brother Bam said, we must approach it just as sanely as it is in the Scripture. And divine healing has been misunderstood by many. Like I said, many times Brother Bam took time in teaching this to the people. And some people think that divine healing is some sort of a hocus-pocus over people and put some kind of a spell on them that they will get well, or hypnotism. He said that's an error. The Bible teaches divine healing for this present day and divine healing all down through the age. If that's true, friends, then divine healing is also true today, the same as it ever was. Principle number three. Divine healing is not and never was dependent on Brother Branham. I said divine healing is not dependent or never was dependent on Brother Branham. In other words, when God took Brother Branham off the scene, divine healing didn't stop. Because the healer is still here. And if the healer is still here and we have faith in the healer, let me tell you, he's able to heal today the same as he ever could. Brother Branham had a gift of healing which brought out, the miraculous and the supernatural, not only to help the people, but also to draw people's attention to the ministry that was going to bring a fresh message from God that would contain rapturing faith and many other things besides the benefits of divine healing. It would contain many, many other things for us. And God had to draw attention to that. And as Brother Bosworth says, God will use things to draw attention to that gift and to that voice, because the salvation of the soul, and let me tell you something, the rapture of the church is more important than the healing of our bodies. I would rather be raptured and taken away, changed and taken away, than to be healed and have a good view in tribulation. Amen? 1949, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Brother Branham said, Christian friends, he said, sinners, sinner friend, lawyers, doctors, whoever you are, there has been much mockery in the name of divine healing, and that is true. And there has been much mockery in every phase of religion, and that is true. But there is real power of the Holy Spirit that delivers the human being from the bondage of sin. I believe that's very true. There is a real power. Just because there are counterfeits doesn't mean that there's a real. Just because there's quackery out there doesn't mean that there is a real. Just because there are money-making schemes out there doesn't mean that there is a real. There is a real power of the Holy Spirit that delivers the human being from the bondage of sin. And there's a real power of the Holy Spirit that delivers the sufferer from his suffering. And I do not see how that clergy could say and preach the gospel without including divine healing in the atonement, because he was wounded for our transgressions and with his stripes we are healed. Principle number four, there is a connection between divine healing, health, and medicine. Now, I come under a little bit of flack for this, but I still believe that it's true. Now, watch what Brother Branham says here in a message called Principles of Divine Healing. He said, no man can take credit for healing, not even to a doctor. Doctors give you aid. They'll operate. But you never heard a doctor say he could heal you because he can't. Hey, we have enough medical expertise in the building here today that we can pretty much handle whatever you threw at us. But let me tell you something. Our hope is not in medical technology. Our hope is not in the system of modern medicine. Our hope is in him primarily. Right? We thank God for doctors. As a matter of fact, let me let Brother Branham say it here. He said, there's only one healer, and that is God. And he quotes Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, and who healeth all of thy diseases. Some people practicing divine healing don't believe in a doctor. You can have your own ideas about it, but I believe in doctors. I believe God put them here on earth, and they're his helpers. But there's none of them can heal you. We thank God for doctors. Now you say, well, are all doctors, do we love all doctors? I don't. I mean, some of them are actually dentists. Right? That doesn't mean that there are not good doctors, though. And we can also say equally so, are all preachers, above board and 100% and true blue and all of that? Absolutely not. And we know that that's true. That doesn't mean that we throw the baby out with the bathwater and throw it all out. Let me tell you, there is a real, and very often, because there is a counterfeit, means that there's a real somewhere for that counterfeit to be made off of. They can set a bone, pull a tooth. And he said, but if they pull a tooth, who's going to heal the socket it came out of? And if they set a bone, who can put it together? He said, look under x-ray and see if they got it right. He said, set the bone. But who's going to heal you? We believe that God's the healer, right? But God needs hands. In the same way that everybody's, God doesn't come down and preach the gospel himself, but he uses a vessel and he takes a mouth and he takes a human being and positions him somewhere to preach the gospel. Let me tell you, even though I preach the gospel, I'm not a savior. There is a savior and I'm not him. But I speak about him. I represent him. And I speak words. And I have, I have some insight into how God actually operates in terms of salvation. And you know what I am? I'm a herald. I'm one who proclaims that message that he's a savior today the same as he ever was. And in the same way, God has good men and women who are in the field of medicine who are able to help people. Just because there are those out there and there's a system out there that has maybe different ideas than we do about it, it doesn't mean that it's all evil. Brother Bram said you can have your own ideas about it, and lots of people do. But I will tell you something. I believe that there are godly doctors and nurses and caregivers who are in the world today. And I'm thankful for them. The uncertain sound. Brother Bram said, seeing in medical books that I even have in my home to read, I'm interested in medicine and anything that'll help God's people and help human beings. I'm interested in medicine and anything that'll help God's people, anything that helps human beings. If it's studying peace terms, I'm interested. I'm interested in a better community to live in. I'm interested in better schools for our children to go to. I'm interested in anything that's good, wholesome, and right. I was flipping through, this caught my eye this week. I was flipping through a little booklet that I saw in my wife's stack of books that she had there. And it was a little thing about this. It was an advertisement kind of on the front cover for a herb that, pretty much did everything. It would save you from bear attacks, bleeding, bullet wounds that passed all the way through. And I mean, it had a long list of things that were, that it was capable of fixing. And this was, on the front cover, they had a herb there. Now, they didn't say what the name of the herb is, but, you take this herb and it'll pretty much cure everything. Everything. And so naturally, everyone's got something, right? So I look at I'm looking at that, and I'm going to page 38. And page 38 describes, again, all of these things that I just said, that, you know, if you got this, you're in a car accident, you're decapitated, hey, this is for you. If you're missing a leg, this is for you. If you're, you want to lose 100 pounds, this is for you. And I'm reading on down, and it comes down to the bottom of the page, and it says, for the name of the herb, go to page 427 of the book, dot, 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 and order at this 800 number. So the booklet was only advertising the fact that you needed to buy the big book. I wasn't happy. Because I thought, what if I get attacked by a bear on the way to church or something? There's a lot of quackery out there, as we know. But whatever it is that can help people. I remember one time dealing with a family, good family. And this brother had a nervous problem, and he was just jittery and nervous. And I thought, you know, I don't diagnose people, and I don't. But experience will tell you certain things. And I just began to talk to him. And the family was with this brother who came to see me. The family's with him. And they were acknowledging his nervousness and jitteriness. And he couldn't sleep. And, you know, just really having problems. So I just began to talk to him and ask him. And because there were some other issues there that kind of triggered my thinking about this. And they wanted me to pray for him. And I said, hey, I'd be glad to pray for him. But let me ask you a couple of questions here first, if you don't mind. And, you know, working a night shift, and what do you normally take, like, for your lunch? You know, and he says, well, he says, I take, you know, I make a sandwich, and I have this. And he says, then I usually take a little pop to come along. What kind do you take? Oh, he says, Mountain Dew. Oh, yeah. How much of that do you drink on a shift? Well, just two. Oh, okay. Two cans? No, two-liter bottles of Mountain Dew. Okay. Sometimes there are problems that we go through that we can absolutely be convinced are spiritual problems, and they have natural solutions. And if you know a little, you know that there are some things that we might be practicing, some things we might be doing that are causing an ill effect in our body. And you know what? Many times you can throw all the prayers you want at things like that, but it comes from changing a habit or realizing, okay, I can identify or relate to where the problem's coming from. Brother Branham was interested in anything that could help people. And sometimes it's to read something or to research something or look at, what's my daily routine? Do I sleep? Do I need to take something to go to sleep? Do I need to take something to wake up? And many times the problems that I hear described are symptoms. They're not the real problem. And Brother Branham said a good doctor is going to dig down at least to find the problem. Why is there a certain thing? Why does a certain thing exist? And in the spiritual sense, Brother Branham often did that as well. And you remember him in prayer lines dealing with individuals. And, you know, he'd hear their story. He'd hear about their pain or their symptom. But he'd go down farther and say, it's coming from here. There's a point in your life where something happened. And after that point, that's where these symptoms begin. After that point, that's where change came in your life. Now, knowing that point and knowing that place and knowing that cause, let me tell you, that's a valuable piece of information, isn't it? Because if we can fix that or change that, then more than likely, there are symptoms that will also dissolve as well when we find out what the cause is. And so it's not just a simple act of just laying hands on everybody and, you know, somehow thinking it's a magical process. Brother Branham was interested in helping people for the long term. And sometimes what people simply need is someone to listen to. They need somebody to listen to them. They need somebody who can not try to fix everything in their life, but they can just have a compassionate heart. And I believe that there's a lot of healing that can go on when people care for one another. Because there's a lack of love in our world, and there's a lack of love even among us busy people with good intentions. I'm interested in a better community to live in. You know, they're investigating and they're probing into all the scandals that went on the Catholic Church with the priests and so forth, and the altar boys and the monasteries and the nunneries and so forth. And, you know, it's a very real thing. The pain is very real. And you think about, you know, the justice and the things that God will have to sort out in the world to come. And there was one very high-ranking cleric who was a top official in the Vatican who was recently sentenced to 6 years in prison for what he did to two altar boys a little while ago. Now, I relate to this because I used to be an altar boy. And I know what they're talking about. I understand that the things that they dealt with. And I worked in a Catholic orphanage in my university years and did that, you know, just to earn some money. It was with them. And they had these two boys, these two cases that were brought to court. And one of the boys was there, and he was a recovering heroin addict because of things that he had gone through back in his early life. And the other one had committed suicide at around 15 years of age. So he was not there to testify. And so you think about the justice for the abuse and the justice for the problems that were projected onto those children in their early life. And the consequential effects of all of that, the consequences of that kind of abuse and how it ripples down through their life, even to the point where one of them decided not to live anymore because the guilt and the pain and the shame was so overwhelming for him, he decided to take his own life. And you think about the justice and how God looks at all of that. Here's Brother Branham saying, you know, he says, when it comes to even a better community to live in. And when you start to listen and you start to probe, you realize the kind of hell, forgive me, that a lot of people actually live in. And the things they put up with. And then I think about the protection that God's given to us. Just by being a Christian. Just by following His principles in this life. Yes, there are rewards in the world to come, but even in this life, there are blessings and there are rewards. There are protections. There are things that God benefits us with just because we are His. That's all. And I'll tell you what, we should never take that blessing and that peace for granted. And to realize that everyone in the world they can't even relate to what I'm talking about. Brother Bam said, I'm interested in anything that's good and anything that's wholesome and anything that's right. And medicine has done some great things. And I believe that if we'd be more sincere and consecrated to God, they'd already had stuff for cancers and everything else. God's got the thing if we just ask Him about it. God's got the remedy. And I believe the reason the salt vaccine was just because of the little children suffering the way that it is, and Satan, that evil thing out there paralyzing those children, and God just let that be discovered for the inoculation. God allows certain things to happen here. But not just because He's all of a sudden figured it out, but because people are repentant and they're humbled and they come to Him and are asking for help with the right kind of an attitude. And to me, that's a key. When it comes to proceeding here this morning with divine healing, that if we come to Him with the right attitude and we come to Him with the right approach and we come to Him with the right sense of humility, I'll tell you what, God's able to fix anything. Your problem is not too great for God. I said your problem is not too great for God. Your problem doesn't overwhelm God. All things are possible to them that believe. Principle number 5, God heals on the basis of need. There's nothing like music, Brother Branham said. You know, God heals by music. Did you know that? God heals by love. God heals by medicine. God heals by prayer. God has many ways of healing, but it depends on what type you need. Let me take that sentence now and work with it for a little bit here this morning. It depends on what type you need. So if He's the healer, now look, when you go to your doctor and you've got a problem and you've analyzed it yourself and you let Dr. Google analyze it and you go in now with all your information and you go into the doctor and you say, all right, I got a problem, and he prescribes something, you're probably going to take it. In most cases, you're probably going to take it because you know why? The doctor gave it to you. And he's got years of training and experience and the ability to be able to look and figure all this out and disregard what you just told him. And they will give you a solution normally. I'm talking about just normal circumstances here. And give you a solution or prescription or a procedure that you may need to have. And we'll follow that because we respect the doctor. As a matter of fact, we cared enough to go to the doctor in the first place. or the pain was great enough to drive us to seek help. There's nothing wrong with that. That happens in life. And if we would treat a doctor that way, why would we not also treat the healer that way? Because God's a healer, and He sends healing based on our need. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Psalm 41, "And I said, Lord, be merciful unto me, heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee." This is what David prayed. This is not physical healing here we're talking about, right? We're talking about healing the land. We're talking about healing the soul. In Jeremiah chapter 3, "Return ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings." These are not physical maladies here we're talking about, but God's a healer in every area, and sometimes He'll send healing based on what we need, not what we have preconceived, right? So if you have a bunch of backslidden people in your church, you watch out. God will send healing, but it may not come in a bottle. It may not come in a prescription. It may come by some good, flat, old, fire-breathing evangelism or something. I don't know. And really stir the people up and really get the people to begin to repent and look at their lives. I mean, God has a way of healing backsliding, doesn't He? God has a way of making us so heavy weighted under our own conviction. Let me tell you, God will change the circumstances to drive somebody to an altar to seek a place to get back and get right with God. How many believe that our land needs a little healing in itself? We talk about Sister Jessie's family up there in the plains and the runoff and so forth, the things that happen there and the natural phenomena. But, you know, here we have, and I could show you, we have legislation that is proposed in our federal government to protect cats, kittens, from pain and abuse. It's called the kitten laws. And then, by the same token, the same legislators are passing laws to allow full-term abortion to take place. So we're more concerned about the pain and distress caused to kittens than we are about human beings. And we've lost our bearings. We've lost our way. This is not a physical issue here. It's not a pathophysiological issue. This is a moral issue. It's a moral dilemma that we find ourselves in. And our land needs to be healed. 2 Kings chapter 2. "And Elisha went forth into the spring of the waters and cast a salt in there and said, Thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters, and there shall be not from thence any more death or barren land." God is interested in healing. Proverbs chapter 18, 14. "The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear?" Now, I've spent a lot of time dealing with this over the years, and a wounded spirit is a very subtle thing and a very small thing, but if left unattended and unhealed, it can become a great big thing, just like a splinter under your skin. And when a splinter gets there and you kind of ignore it and feel like, oh, it's only little, I'll get it later on, and you forget about it and so forth, after a couple of days you realize, you know what, there's something not right. And then after so many other days, you know, you're realizing that little thing that I thought was insignificant, it really has caused a big problem. And sometimes you need to get attention from a doctor or a nurse or something, go to the clinic and get that taken care of. Sometimes a wounded spirit can happen because things are said. People are criticized. People are hurt. People are wrongly judged. People sometimes, you know, maybe out of a spirit of jealousy or out of pride, somebody will try to cut down somebody else, and they can lodge little splinters by their words under the hearts of people that, left unattended, can really become problems. And a splinter left unattended gets pretty ugly after a while. And a wounded spirit is a tough thing. Many times I've given you the example before, and if you don't mind, let me just repeat it again, because this one has a good outcome, and it's a true story. There was a young girl, was 18 years old, and was at a very close European family. And, you know, they Europeans know how to eat, and they get together, and grandma cooks, and everybody has a big time, and all, you know, lots of food, lots of conversation, and so forth. And many hours are often spent in the evening meal in the European community. And this group had together, this young girl there, and everybody would say to her when they came in and saw her, especially all the relatives, they'd say, "Oh, you're just like grandma. Oh, you're the spitting image of grandma. You look just like grandma. Ah, little grandma right here." And the problem with grandma is that she was basically square, right? She was a heavy-set woman, cute face, but a heavy-set woman and short and kind of, you know, made that way. No disregard. That's the way she was made. In the heart of an 18-year-old girl, that struck terror. She said, "How am I ever going to find a husband? How am I ever going to get married if I turn out like grandma?" And grandma's, you know, 70 years old and probably had a slew of kids and grandkids and all the rest of it and all the toils of life. But in her eyes, in her 18-year-old eyes, she's looking at this grandma, and all of a sudden she begins to starve herself. In response to that, just a sliver, but she begins to starve herself. And then she gets anorexic. And she's at the point where she has to be hospitalized in an institution because she's almost killed herself in trying to not be like grandma. And what that is a wounded spirit. Let me tell you what else that God is able to do. He's able to heal the brokenhearted. I love this. This is in the book of Luke, where Jesus takes the scroll, you remember, and he looks for the book of Isaiah, and he unrolls it, and he says, "The Lord has sent me to preach the good tidings," and so forth, "the acceptable year of the Lord," and heal the brokenhearted. In other words, this is his job description. All right? I need you to understand, this is his job description. He's finding his job description on the earth. Preach the acceptable year of the Lord and proclaim the gospel of liberty and so forth and to heal the brokenhearted. This is what Jesus was there on earth to do. Now, let me dig in just for a little bit, and I need you just to hold on. I'm not going to be long. Brother Bram's got a woman in front of him in the prayer line, and he's talking to her, and he's talking about the church ages and everything else, and I'm just breaking in here. And he said, "Now, let's see. Again, it's a nervous condition that you have and overweight that you're praying for. And you got a broken heart about something. It's a little nephew of yours. He's afflicted. He's a little boy, about 10 years old. And you're more interested about his parents because they're unsaved. And you're praying for them. Thus saith the Lord, God bless you, lady. Go on your road now and be healed." So what he sees first about her, she's got some conditions there, but he says, "You got a broken heart." Because a broken heart is something, let me tell you something, a broken heart is something that catches the attention of God. He knows what it's like. Brother Branham teaches in Living, Dying, Buried, Rising, and Coming, he said, men will never know what that was to die on the cross. There could be no one else could ever die like that. I don't care how much you could be tormented, put your feet in stocks, saw with a saw by inches or burn you by inches, you could not die that death because your makeup's not like that. It had to be God. He died of a broken heart with such grief for the world until a chemical reaction took place in his body that could not take place in you. You cannot suffer like that. There's no way for you to have that kind of grief. There's only one could do it, and he did it. Medically, I haven't dug into that. But I'll tell you this. Let me just summarize my thoughts on this one little quote and say this. That if Jesus himself physically, humanly experienced brokenness and a broken heart like this, to an extent where Brother Branham would say a statement like this, I don't think it's possible for you as a believer to come to him with a broken heart and him not take notice. He's going to be affected by somebody who comes with a broken heart. I know what that feels like. I know just what that feels like. I know your pain. I know the suffering. I get it. And that's what he was sent to do. Now watch what a broken heart means in the Bible. Here's Bible verses that contain the phrase and the words. Watch the definition, though. People who feel their spiritual bankruptcy and helplessness, and who long for the help and salvation of God. Now, I don't want to see your hands for a moment, but have you ever felt spiritually bankrupt? Even when you're serving the Lord, sometimes you feel like you're so out of touch with God. You feel like you're so cold. You feel like you're so removed. You feel like nobody understands. You feel like you're somehow or another, the train has left the station and you weren't on it. You were inside getting a snack and the train's gone. And you feel helpless. Anybody here, without showing your hands, anybody here ever feel helpless? Like, I'm in a spot I can't get out of. I'm in a pit that I can't climb out of. I'm in a financial bind that I don't have an answer for. I got problems with my children that I can't solve. That's helplessness. Such people, watch, are in the right condition to be met and blessed by God. Do you realize that when you come to that place of helplessness and you come to that place of bankruptcy, you're in the right place and the right condition to be met by God? I don't know where you all are today. You know what? I don't need to know. I only know what the Lord was telling me this week and kind of bringing me back to, because we've talked about some of these things before, but I think it's just kind of nice to revisit them every now and then, because, you know, sometimes when people are going through a time of loneliness or despair or brokenness or helplessness or heartbroken about something, they're longing for the help of someone. They're longing for someone's support and someone's love. They're longing for somebody to put their arm around them and say, I understand, or I care. And when you're in a spot like that, I'm here to tell you today, you're in the right condition to be met by the healer. Do you believe that today? Because here's what the Bible says. The Lord is nigh unto them that are in church. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. And so when you go through times like that, and you go through those periods of helplessness, you go through those times and you feel like you're bankrupt, know this, that the Lord is nigh unto them, meaning that He's close. The Bible even describes it this way in the wording, that you don't have to summon Him down and you don't have to call Him up from the deep, but He's nigh, even as close as the breath you breathe. Because He said, not me or you, He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, but I'll be with you, even in you, until the end of the age. Brother Bram said, but when our Lord puts His chain, watch this, when the Lord puts His chain of love around your heart and pulls you from the ditch of sin, He heals every broken heart and takes away all the sin. And the bills put in the sea of God's forgetfulness to remember against you no more. Come without money or without price. That's the name of the sermon. And no matter how bad, watch, no matter how bad you're cut up, no matter how bad you're bruised, and no matter how bad your family's done, no matter how bad your family's done to you or what you've done, there's no bill, there's no cost, there's no invoice. Nothing's going to come in the mail to surprise you. It's over. He heals the heartaches, takes away all your sorrow. He was wounded for our transgression. It's free. I gotta say it again. No matter how bad you're cut up, and no matter how bad you're bruised, and no matter how bad your family's done, or what you've done, there's no bill to it. There's no cost to you. He heals the heartaches and takes away all your sorrows. Say it with me. He heals the heartaches and takes away all your sorrow. He was wounded for your transgression. It's all free. To me, that's worth coming to church for today. That's worth knowing. That the Lord is nigh unto them of a broken heart. And that He takes away all of our sin and all of our brokenness. And He heals every broken heart and takes away all sin. Does that prevent the devil from coming back and reminding you that you're a loser and a failure and a former sinner? And you grew up in a lousy home and you're not good at this and you're not good at that? No, it doesn't prevent him at all. That's why you need me. That's why you need me to tell you what I just told you. Because we need each other to remind each other and to support each other when we go through times like this. Because there are times of spiritual bankruptcy. There are times of loneliness. And there are times of brokenness. And there are times when you feel like you're apart from God and drifted away. And all the other things that human beings go through. But I need you to understand that He's not one who forgets. And He's not one who is immune from your cry. He's not one that is insensitive to a broken heart. Because He's gone through a broken heart probably way much more than what you have gone through. I don't want His law, Brother Branham said. It puts me in jail. I don't want His justice. It condemns me. I want mercy. And God knows we all need mercy. Say it with me. God knows we all need mercy. What did Jesus represent? His mercy and His love. And if you're without love, hear ye Him. If the barrel's empty at home, hear ye Him. If the cruise has run dry, hear ye Him. And if you've got a broken heart, hear ye Him. And if you've got need joy in your soul, hear ye Him. If you need forgiveness for your sins, hear ye Him. If you need healing for your body, hear ye Him. That's just about everything. If you're without love, the barrel's almost empty at home, and you need your cruise has run dry, or if you've got a broken heart, hear ye Him. And hear what He has to say to you. Hear what and receive what He has to give you in the time when you're going through this. If you need forgiveness of your sins. When evening was set, 1951, when evening was set, the days of Jesus, and they brought many to Him, and He healed them by the power of His word. Many things has happened since those days. The days of Jesus, when evening was set and they brought many to Him, crowds came to Him because divine healing's a worm on the hook. It's bait. It's something that gets people's attention and people will come out. They'll draw out. They'll come outside their systems. They'll come outside their denominations. They'll come outside of their normal routine. They'll come out because, you know what, just about everybody has something. When I asked you that question in the beginning, just about everybody puts their hands up. Because just about everybody has something that if they could sit with Jesus for 5 minutes and have Him put their hand on you, there's something in every one of us that we'd probably want God to heal or touch or fix or maybe pour oil upon because He's the great soother. And many, many things has happened since those days, disappointments and everything. But Father, I pray You'll brush back every scar tonight and heal every broken heart. And may the power of God once more burn in a living faith through every heart. Grant it, Lord. You know why He's saying that? You know why Brother Branham's even praying that way and saying that? Is because it's possible. It's possible. And it's possible for believers to go through times like that. Brother Branham went through times like that. And he's sitting there in the hospital, in the basement of the hospital, and his wife, you know, says what she says to him and dies, slips away over on the other side. And he calls her back, and she goes back over on the other side. He can't stop the inevitable. Her life is gone. Her time on earth is over. And as if that wasn't hard enough, they tell him about his daughter. And they open up the grave and he lays his daughter on the arms of her mother in the grave. We can't say that Jesus didn't experience heartache. We can't say that Brother Branham didn't experience heartache. And I don't want you in any way to leave here today feeling bad because you have a broken heart or your cruise has almost run dry or you feel spiritually bankrupt or you feel powerless against the enemies that surround you. In the great chasm of Laodicea and all the moral traps that exist in our world today, And the things that afflict us mentally, physically, emotionally, even spiritually, the things that tempt us, push us, and aggressively remind us of our humanity. Let me tell you something. I believe God would never have left us alone in this world had there not been a remedy for us to be able not only to be healed, but to be an overcomer of the world around us. He does not want you to squander in defeat and wallow in despair. He wants you to be a conqueror. He wants you to be an overcomer. He wants you to be well. And this is why Brother Branham's praying the things that he did in comments like this. Here's Brother Branham dedicating a church, dedicating a building to the Lord is the name of the sermon in 1959. And he's out somewhere. Cleveland, Tennessee is actually where he is. And he's praying over this church. And he says, be sure the blood is over the lintels of each door of your heart. There's no denominational barriers. There's no difference. Sister Becky, would you come on, if you don't mind? Just let Sister Becky come for a minute here. Never fail. This is what he tells the church. Never fail to preach the full gospel from this holy sanctuary. Always have miracles, signs, and wonders of the resurrected Jesus. That's what he tells the church. Always have miracles. Always have signs. Always have things that remind you of the presence of Jesus Christ. And may the anointed high priest with oil of the opium soothe every broken heart. And may the rose of Sharon with the anointing oil so be preached and demonstrated here, till men from all parts of the country will come in and say, truly, God is with you. What's the point? The point is not that everybody in the world is healed, because everybody who's healed is going to have to die. Right? The point is not that everybody gets their disease fixed. The point is that people can come into the presence of God. That's what he's praying for this church, that people can come into the presence of God and they can see a living God, not a dead God or a historical God or a 2,000 years ago Jesus. They can see Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, forever. And they can see that and they can realize, wow, God is real. God exists. And if he hears my prayer over my issue, then he also hears my prayer over my sinfulness. And Lord, I'm coming to thee. And that's the whole point. Because you know what? If we were all healed and in perfect health and everybody was turned back to 21 years old, we'd still be facing the tribulation. So the point is not, the major is not the healing part. The major part is to be able to come to Christ. But I know this, that when you're going through a physical difficulty and when you're going through an emotional struggle or when you're going through that feeling of powerlessness, as I talked about, you don't have much confidence really in your own spirituality because you feel like I shouldn't be sick in the first place. Many times we feel like we shouldn't be down in the first place. We shouldn't be suffering in the first place. Shouldn't be in pain in the first place. And the devil will jump right on your shoulder and say, hey, if you were a real believer and you had a real faith, you wouldn't have any of that at all. You wouldn't be wearing glasses if you had real faith. You know what? That's not true. Those are lies of the enemy. The devil will tell you that, oh, your kids should never get sick, and criticize Brother Branham because he took his own children to a doctor and had them treated for various maladies and so forth. I talked to people who criticized Brother Branham personally because he took his kids to the doctor. Brother Branham says in one place, like any sane, sensible person would do. Let's believe what he says. If your cruise is almost run dry, if you need healing, hear ye him. You're going through a difficult time emotionally? Hear ye him. Going through a time of loss? Hear ye him. In other words, hear what he says. Hear what the scripture says. And what he says is, the Lord will draw nigh to them that are of a broken heart and a contrite spirit. So when we humble ourselves and we come to God and say, Lord, I just want to give this to you. I want to let this go. And I can't deal with this anymore. And I don't care what the condition is. It doesn't overwhelm me because I'm not the healer. If I had the responsibility of healing you, I would be nervous now. But I don't have it. I don't have it. He's the healer. He's always been the healer. He still is the healer. And he always will be. I'm just an instrument. I'm just a person who's telling. I'm just trying to tell you the good news today. I'm just trying to share what he says. And that's what we're supposed to do, is hear ye him. Not hear everybody else, but hear him. Heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved. Why don't we stand to our feet this morning? And I'd be glad to pray with anybody this morning that has a need. And we have some others here who can gather around and pray for you. I've tried to obey him this week and just trying to stay focused. We're in the middle of series, and yet I was just trying to stay focused. Now, I want you to do the same thing now. Just be faithful to him. Let's sing this together. Heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved. This morning. Oh, heal me, oh Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be free there and come up here. Brother Danny, if you would come up, if you wouldn't mind. I don't know where Brother John is. He just stepped out here. If you could get John and have him come. You know, I believe that it's good for us to pray as individuals, but I'll tell you what, there's just something increases when people get together and pray and join our hearts together. I want these brothers to come lay hands with me as well, but I want you, if you don't mind, I want you to just pray like you're standing here with me. Brother Wayne's gone through a difficult time here and has got compression in his back and tried some different things, and we're just going to formally and scripturally commit him into the hands of God and just ask that God would touch him and heal him and make him well. And you know what? However healing comes, we're going to thank God for it. We're going to thank God for it. Let's sing that little chorus again here. Heal me, and I will be healed,
and I will be saved. Hear me, O Lord, and I will be healed. You are the one
Just worship Him some more with that. Oh God.
That I'm greeted for.
How we love this healing atmosphere. We just love this blessed atmosphere where we can linger and just enjoy the presence, Lord, your blessings among us. How undeserving we are. How gracious you have been to us. We believe, Lord, your mercies are new every day. And Lord, there are some that came forth and some, Lord, that maybe reaching out to you in their own way, and some even that are listening. Lord, we know you care. We know you're concerned about all the things we go through. It's never, ever hidden from you. And so in the name of Jesus Christ, I commit every need to you this morning, Lord. Because we know with you there's no distance. There are no barriers. There's no distance that's too great. Father, when we hurt, we know you feel it. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. We live in a broken and a fallen world, but you are more than able. You are still Jehovah Rapha today. And we thank you for that. Thank you for a prophet that demonstrated that to us and gave us confidence in your word today, that we could rest in hope like ages gone by, in the healing promises of God. Bless your people now, we pray. We commit them to you and ask that we would go with a little measure of this presence. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. And amen. And all the believers said, amen. We're going to let you go this morning. If you'd like to stay and worship a little while, you certainly can. Say them one more time as you go this morning. Jehovah Jireh. You're my provider. You are more than enough for me. Jehovah, my Father.
Anytime.